I've been saving for a rainy day.
Sound like a good idea, saving for a rainy day?
It's raining.
That old vaudeville tune perhaps perfectly describes what some folks, some institutions, some states even are doing to prepare for that unthinkable rainy day that comes on August 2nd, right? That's what we've been talking about. A federal default would upset access to credit around the world, and state governments have a double whammy here. They rely on federal revenues for lots of important programs, and they need their own access to the credit markets to fund their operations. California this week took out a $5.4 billion loan just in case, and other states are working on their own contingencies. Here to talk about those sobering plans is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. So, Louise, how are states trying to dodge this bullet, which is looking more and more like a cannonball this morning?
You know, one of the interesting things we've been talking about a lot on the show this summer is the situation in Greece and Europe. And one of the things we've said over and over again is that what's different over there is, you know, Greece doesn't have the strong federation or the federal government that'll help it out. But we've got that in the U.S. Well, here it would be in big question in August. If the U.S. does not lift the debt limit, the states won't be able to count on the federal funding they're so used to. So it's really a very big risk for them, kind of turning the tables. In a typical year, they get over a third of their money from Washington. So, you know, they get about $1.62 trillion, and they get a third of that, $564 billion, from the federal government, a lot of money.
So that's direct cash on the one hand, and then a downgrade of the feds would be a downgrade of states' abilities to borrow.
Absolutely.
As well.
There's this thing known as the sovereign cap or the sovereign ceiling, which says that if the country is downgraded, then all the entities, all the cities and states within it are likely to be downgraded as well. And so what it would mean is that investors may charge the states a lot more on their debt or may not really be willing to buy it at all.
Even if those states actually did nothing differently.
Even if they did nothing. Right. But there is something very different. They wouldn't be getting a third of the
right.
money, you know, that they spent.
It's like they lost their job or something. It's like
huge.
Suddenly the money wouldn't be coming in. Listen to this listener here who has some, it seems to me, very realistic fears, and I want your assessment of this.
My name is Ben Goldman. I will be affected by the default because I work at a community mental health center that is funded primarily through Medicare. And should the government stop essential payments, I'm afraid that our patients will go untreated, particularly the suicidal patients, the psychotic patients who will be unable to refill their prescriptions.
All right. That crazy kind of worst case scenario is actually becoming realistic this week, right?
It is. And, you know, what you hear a lot about on Wall Street right now is that the government better make its payments on those bonds, that it better pay off investors. But you know what most Americans are really going to be thinking about in August is, well, the government better pay my Social Security or the government better pay out on Medicaid, Medicare. That's where Americans are really going to see it. If the government decides not to pay some of its regular obligations to regular people.
And those ifs are going to be answered. Apparently, the Treasury Secretary is working on a contingency plan that may be revealed by the end of this week if there is no deal. So we will understand whether food stamp recipients stand in front of or behind Medicare recipients, that sort of thing. Listen to this other listener here.
My name is Marcella. I'm calling from Rhode Island. I am an unemployed librarian. I really don't want to say my age, but I will. I'm 56, and I get food stamps. So I'm concerned about the effect of this problem on the food stamps.
Are states involved in food stamps? Is this something directly affecting them or...
Well, you know, there's a lot of aid from the federal government on this. And what she should also be concerned about is her unemployment benefits, because those come from the federal government to states. And that, you know, already people are struggling so much to pay their bills. If they don't get their unemployment benefits, that would just be a whammy some people couldn't take. Now, what'll be interesting to see is whether the federal government says, OK, you know, Massachusetts, you've got $2.2 billion in cash on hand. So we're going to cut your benefits for a few weeks because you've got some cash. But, you know, some other state that hasn't saved for the rainy day, well, then we'll give it to you. It'll be interesting to see if they treat all states differently, you know, the same, or if they treat them differently, because states are in very different financial situations. I mean, New York has about enough money to go into September without help from the federal government. So will the federal government say, OK, New York, you know, we've helped you other times in other situations. the whole country came to the rescue, you know, after September 11th, provided a lot to New York. So you've got money. We've got to help another state. How will they sort that out?
That's really interesting.
Well, I mean, this all plays into the conversation that we had with you before, Louise, which is in terms of paying priorities and what they can pay and what they can't pay. The states didn't even enter onto your list of things that the government would want to pay first.
Well, it did in the sense that a lot of people are saying that the government would want to pay unemployment. That goes from the federal government to the states, that they would want to pay Medicaid. Those are the programs that the federal money are going through to the states.
Yeah. We talked about this with Alvin Hall. This listener says there might be a silver lining here. I wonder if we could get your assessment of this listener here, Louise.
I'm Brandon from Oklahoma City, and I think that the debt ceiling issue, if not resolved, could be that one thing that finally ignites something within people to maybe make them make some big changes. This could be the beginning of the end in a real tangible way. And I personally believe that's a great thing.
Debt is suddenly more tangible and always will be as a result of this fiasco?
I could see it going either way. There could be big changes, or we could get past this, they'll raise the limit, everyone goes back to what they were used to. But I'll tell you one thing, if that happens, if there aren't changes, we will be back here. We'll be back here, you know, in a year or so if the debt limit is just raised by a trillion, if it's raised by a few trillion, maybe 2 years. But we'll be back here having the same conversation.
Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. You know how to weigh in. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Be a part of the debate.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.